Saturday, May 23rd, was a significant day to me because it was the dedication of the George Marshall Research Library in Lexington, Virginia. A bit confusing to skip from Lexington, Kentucky to Lexington, Virginia, with hardly drawing a breath in between. Lyndon and I left the South Lawn about 9:30. Dean Acheson and Mrs. Acheson, Secretary Rusk, Senator Byrd, in a white suit, as always with him this time of year, and some staff. We got on the big plane at Andrews and flew to Roanoke, Virginia, and from there it was choppers again to Lexington, Virginia. This time, ladies only in mind, Martha Hodges, Jane Freeman, Mrs. Acheson, Mrs. Harriman, and Mary Ellen Monroney. The VMI parade ground in Lexington, there was a 21-gun salute and hail to the chief, and Lyndon went around inspecting the VMI Cadet Honor Guard Company. Poor dear boys. Temperature in the high 80s, sun bright, and the jacket of their uniforms, their summer uniform, mind you, heavy, thick, long-sleeve wool. Well, it's said that discipline is one of the main things they teach them there. Next, we went to a lovely, quiet house where the superintendent of VMI, General Shell, and Mrs. Shell lived. She told us this was the only house left standing when the Yankees burned VMI during the Civil War, and the reason it was left is because the daughter of the commandant had a baby just 2 or 3 days old, and she asked the Yankee general if he wouldn't spare that one house for the baby's sake. He did. Its walls tell the story of our military great in pictures ranging over many decades. At noon, we went out to a brief visit of the library with President Eisenhower, Mrs. Marshall, Governor Harrison of Virginia, and a long line of other dignitaries. All of this seems to me to be for the benefit of the photographers and not the benefit of those who come to see the library. Because all you do is stand here and there and get your picture made. And what I really wanted to do was see and plan and think maybe sometime Lyndon might have a library, smaller in scope but on the same general plan. Only ours would be the old stone fort at Johnson City, at least in part. And then the men took up their positions on the speaker's platform, and I sat next to Mrs. Marshall on the front row, in the sun by now about 90 degrees, I think, glad I had worn a hat. It was a very touching ceremony for many reasons. My particular reason is because I believed implicitly in George Marshall without reservation, a man whose character has seldom been equaled in our government service, and I'm sure that Lyndon does too. General Omar Bradley, his old buddy, presided, and to me, one of the most interesting things that Omar Bradley said was before the ceremony began, when he told me that this is one of 22 things I'm doing because I think they're good to do. Of course, my heart is in this more than any of the others. He went on to say, "Don't misunderstand me. I've got 4 things I do that I get paid for doing." He's never one to reach for credit. But that caused me to reflect on the joys of retirement. If he, General Bradley, retired, has 22 things that he does as public service, I wonder if we'll ever quite reach that stage of lying in the hammock at the ranch and reading the Bible, or sitting lazily in a boat with a fishing pole, with nothing more important to do than wait for the fish to bite or watch the birds fly over. Superintendent of VMI, General Shell, welcomed us to Lexington and VMI, and then Governor Harrison of Virginia gave a little talk. Next, General Bradley himself, and then General Eisenhower, and all day long people referred to him as General Eisenhower, not President Eisenhower. And perhaps everyone was waiting to hear if there would be any little undertone of apology or explanation, because there were those who thought that when he became president, he had not been as loyal or devoted to George Marshall, his longtime chief, as he might have been. There was a time during the McCarthy era, he is said to have cut out of a speech some plaudits of Marshall to salve the feelings of the McCarthyites. It's hard to credit any bad intentions to that genial, open-faced man. It was actually, I think, the best speech I ever heard General Eisenhower give. And then came Lyndon's speech, which to me was one of the most touching, most beautiful, most impressive tributes I've ever heard him make or anybody. Mrs. Marshall was very much the center of everybody's attention, and though she's getting old and not very well, you could see that she was savoring this great day to the hilt, and so would I if I had been she. It was really a fitting salute to a towering character, one of the moments in American history I'm glad this job gives me the opportunity to have. One of the nicest moments of the day was seeing all those handsome young cadets. Several of them escorted me around at different moments. At least three came up and introduced themselves as Texans. They all asked about Linda and Lucy. And looking at the caliber of them, I could understand how some great Civil War general said, just before he went into a battle where they were going to participate, "The men from VMI will be heard from today." Back at General Shell's, we just had time for a tall, cool drink and a beginning to look around and see who all was there, and how surprised I was to see Mrs. Mary Moody North, or is it Northington? I suppose the Moody Foundation must have been one of the contributors to the library. Bob Lovett was one of those most responsible for making the library a reality. Before I could really begin surveying the field of interesting guests, word came that we must leave, and once more it was helicopter back to Roanoke, greeting some people who were there waiting for us at the airport, and then aboard for lunch, and high time, because it was nearly 3, and everybody was ravenous. That night, we went to Abe and Carol's dinner and dancing party in honor of this, that, and the other thing, which actually turned out to be both of their birthdays and their wedding anniversary, all spaced within about a week of the time of the party. The guest list revealed what a many-faceted man Abe is. The world of politics was well represented from us on, I can't say down, but all over the world of society. At my table, there was that cute Scotty Lanahan, one of the most attractive people in town. And also that delightful Mercedes Eichholz. I guess you would just say she has moved to the world of society from the world of the Supreme Court. Her husband came up and introduced himself with this cryptic remark, "I'm the man," and a charming-looking man he was. And the world of arts was there. Abe introduced me to several of the violinists that he plays with. It's his lifesaver, his therapy. Just as gardening is Carol's. It was a big party, over 100, and it had been a very full day, so we left shortly after dinner.